Yeah, so we're living in a day and age where they call evil good and they call good evil. You're labeled a hater. You're labeled a nonconformist. You're labeled as evil because you simply stand for the truth. I don't know if anybody saw my post on Facebook yesterday. I posted, question, how many people got on Noah's Ark? And I waited for a few minutes because everybody said 8. And I put, wrong, there were 9. One of the dogs identified as human. This is the time we're living in. I mean, that would go over today. They'd accept that, you know.
No, some people.
You?
They value their animals more than human life.
Oh, man. You know it. It is really getting bizarre out there. I'm so glad I'm in the house of God where we belong. Well, I'm so glad Hymn 33 says that no matter what you're going through, no matter how dark the tunnel might be, the problem may seem, you can tell it to Jesus. Amen? And when you tell Jesus all about it, guess what? He takes care of it. He's got it under his thumb. I'm so thankful. I like that verse in Ephesians, I think it's chapter 2, which says, all things are under his feet. Oh, man. That's a beautiful.
You bow your tongue and confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. That includes Satan.
Yes. The devil will bow his knee. That day, I can hear the hoop line every now. Woohoo! Yes, even the demons of Satan will bow and confess who he is. They already know who he is. Most people don't. Hymn 33 will stand, and we're going to sing all 4 of Tell It to Jesus, one of our old favorites. Yeah, sounding good.
Are you heavy hearted? Tell it to Jesus. Tell it to Jesus. Are you giving over joys departed? Tell it to Jesus alone. Tell it to Jesus. Tell it to Jesus. He's a friend that's well known. You have no other such a friend or brother. Tell it to Jesus alone. On the second, do the tears flow down your cheeks unheeded? Tell it to Jesus. Tell it to Jesus. The new sins that to men's eyes are hidden. Tell it to Jesus alone. Tell it to Jesus. Tell it to Jesus. He is a friend that's well known. You have no other such a friend or brother. Tell it to Jesus alone. 3. Do you fear the gathering clouds of sorrow? Tell it to Jesus. Tell it to Jesus. You venture to meet me tomorrow. Tell it to Jesus alone. Now say, tell it to Jesus, tell it to Jesus. He is a friend that's well known. You have no other such a friend or brother. Tell it to Jesus alone. Are you troubled at the thought of dying? Tell it to Jesus, tell it to Jesus. Sighing, tell it to Jesus alone. Tell it to Jesus, yeah, tell it to Jesus. He is a friend that's well known. You have no other such a friend or brother. Tell it to Jesus alone.
Woo-hoo! Amen and amen. Praise the Lord. Please be seated, church. Good singing today. And I just love that last stanza. You don't have to be troubled at the thought of dying. because to a Christian there is no death. The body goes to sleep, sure. We hold your funeral, yeah. But you're not dead. You're alive and dancing on streets of gold. Woo-hoo. We shall sing again. All righty. I'd ask you to grab your Bibles at this time, folks. Open up to the book of Proverbs for today's message. Yes, indeed. The book of wisdom. It'll make you a wise and understanding person, making right decisions that are pleasing to the Lord. Well, I have a serious message to preach today, and I've been working on it for some 3 weeks now, so buckle your seatbelts. I want to talk to you today on crossing God's deadline. Crossing God's deadline. Did you know you can? Look with me in Proverbs chapter 29. Remain seated. We'll read one verse. Pray and preach. He that being often reproved hardeneth his neck shall suddenly be destroyed, and that without remedy. Proverbs 29:1. I want to speak to you on crossing God's deadline. Father in heaven above, how we thank you for the word of God today. One of the most solemn verses in all of Holy Writ, Proverbs 29:1. Lord, it makes a divine declaration to the world, a warning not to harden one's heart against God. The end thereof is destruction. And that destruction is without remedy. Lord, I pray that somebody would be touched today by the Holy Ghost. I pray, O Lord, that some would get saved from destruction, get saved from hell, get saved from that lake of fire, get saved from sin. Lord, I pray that you'd bless your word. Let it penetrate deep within the hearts of men and women and boys and girls who hear it. And, oh God, may it transform lives, resulting in the salvation of their souls. Through Jesus Christ we pray. Amen. Amen. Question, church. Can a man or woman spiritually pass the point of no return? Can he so stubbornly and arrogantly sin against God? Can he be so willfully rebellious that God will give up on him? I believe that the answer to this question is yes. And that it's that is a frightening thought. And I'd ask you to hear me out before you pass sentence on this message today. In the end, it'll all make sense. Listen now, there is a deadline. And if a man, woman, boy, or girl crosses that deadline, his doom is sealed. And he has no hope whatsoever. You say, but Pastor, God is a God of love, infinite love. Yes, he is. But he is also a God of wrath, a God of divine judgment. And when you say that God is a God of love, that is true. But it's not all the truth. It is only part of the truth. So we need to see all of God's word, not just part of it. How about this? What if your next door neighbor completely ignored you whenever you saw him out in the driveway, mowing the lawn, coming home from work? Hey, Joe! Just turned the other way. Didn't acknowledge your existence. And this goes on for a period of time. And months go by. And you say, hey, Joe, how you doing today? Every time you see him, doesn't acknowledge you. Turns his back, shrugs his shoulders, walks back into his house. Now, years and years go by. Let's say 25 years, and every time you saw Joe, you tried to befriend him, and he rebelliously, arrogantly gave you the stiff shoulder. Let me ask you a question. Would there come a day when you just might stop trying to be his friend? Of course there is. Of course there is. And God is a person, and God has feelings, and God reaches out to lost man, and he reaches out and out and out, and lost man shrugs his shoulders and ignores God and ignores God and ignores God for years and years and years. And one day God says, that's it. I'm not inviting you anymore. Folks, listen to me. I want you to look at this verse of Scripture because it is a terrifying text in some ways. Proverbs 29, look at verse 1 again. He that being often reproved hardeneth his neck shall suddenly be destroyed, and that without remedy. Now, there is a time, I know not when. There is a place, I know not where, which marks the destiny of men, to heaven or despair. There is a line, by us not seen, which crosses every path, the hidden boundary between God's mercy and God's wrath. The hidden boundary between God's mercy and God's wrath. That poem is about drawing a line in the sand, and if a man crosses that line, one day God will say, that's it. You've crossed my deadline. It's too late for you. Church, for a man to cross that line means that there's no hope for him. Now, how many of you have been to Niagara Falls? I've been to Niagara Falls, my wife and I. Beautiful, incredible power in that falls is amazing. Well, I've been told that in the Niagara River, which leads to the falls, it runs about 85 miles north into Canada, the Niagara River, okay? That the Niagara River rushes down to Niagara Falls in a violent torrent just prior to going over the brink of the edge. But at first, the Niagara River in its beginning is very placid. It's very slow and peaceful. But listen, it reaches a point about 10 miles prior to the edge of the falls where it rises and picks up speed, and there is even a warning sign there on the riverbank which says, caution, this is the point of no return. Now, listen, folks, you can be in that river for a long time, 75 miles. But when you come to that place, that literal point, you're not going to turn around and go back because it's physically impossible. Listen to me. That is the point of no return, and you are going over the falls if you pass that point. And I believe that spiritually, a man can reach that point of no return and that his eternal fate is sealed. He's doomed to perish. Why? Because he crossed God's deadline. He's gone too far. And God's Holy Spirit will no longer draw him to Jesus Christ. How fearful a thought is that, church? It is the point of no return. Now, beloved, there are four definite truths in verse 1. First, there's, let me give them to you, spiritual conviction. Second, there's stubborn rebellion. Third, there's sudden destruction. Fourth, there's a settled destiny. So let's see first. First, today, I want you to notice the spiritual conviction in verse 1, chapter 29. He, or she, that being often reproved, listen, church, God does reprove us. He does convict us of our sin. We are often, it says, often reproved, repeatedly reproved. And no one goes to hell unloved, unwarned, and unconvicted. God strives with us. He knocks on our heart's door, calling to us over and over again, come to my son for salvation. God is merciful, even if he warns us just one time. But the scripture says that he reproves us over and over and over again. How does God speak and reprove us? I see five specific ways. First, through his Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit of God will gently but strongly speak to our hearts, convicting us of our sin and of our need to be saved. I love that. In John chapter 16, it says, and he, the Spirit of truth, when he is come, he will reprove. Look at that, verse 1. See the word reproved? He will reprove the world of sin. It's his job, and he's good at it. He tells you you're guilty. He tells you to come to Jesus before it's too late. He tells us of our need to be saved. Listen, if the Holy Spirit is speaking to you today, please listen to the Spirit of God, because there will come a day when he will cease speaking to you. Go with me to Genesis chapter 6 for a moment. Hold your place in Proverbs. Coming back. Genesis chapter 6. I want to show you from the Bible today that God has a deadline. And if you cross that deadline, you're doomed Look with me in Genesis chapter 6, verse number 3. You know this context, the flood. And the Lord said, my spirit, there's the Holy Spirit, shall not always strive with man. Notice in verse 3 that God makes a declaration that my Holy Spirit will strive with you. He'll woo you. He'll reprove you. He'll gently nudge you. He'll beg you to come to Jesus Christ. But he says, not always. Not always, church. Now, that's first way he reproves is through the Holy Spirit. Secondly, through sickness. Psalm 119, don't turn there. Verse 67 says, David says, before I was afflicted, sickened, I went astray, but now have I kept thy word. David is saying that through affliction, through sickness, he learned to obey God's voice. Amen? That's a healthy thing to do. That's because sickness is a messenger from God that reminds us that we will one day pass away. Every time you get sick, I had the flu last month. Oh, man! My whole body, from head to toe, aching. Like, oh, man! I'm reminded that one day this physical body is going to perish. I'm glad of that. I'll get one that can't get sick. But sickness is a messenger from God, reminding us of the frailty of the flesh and of our need for God. Listen, we will not be upon this earth forever. But thirdly, how does God speak to us? God speaks to us through sorrows. Anybody had sorrows and heartaches? Oh yeah, everybody's hand is up. Perhaps God has spoken to you through the death of a loved one, through a financial hardship, through a broken marriage or relationship. You have sorrow. Just ask Job about sorrows and heartaches. Go to Job chapter 2 for a moment. Job chapter 2. You know Job got it from all sides. I mean, you talk about a man full of heartache and sorrows, and guess what? Job feared God. Job loved God. And watch what the devil did to him. In Job chapter 2, look with me in Job chapter 2 at verse number 7. He's lost his family, and now his wife turns on him. Verse 7, so went Satan forth from the presence of the Lord and smote Job with sore boils from the sole of his foot unto his crown. His whole body was full of pus and sore boils. And he took him a potsherd to scrape himself withal. And he sat in an ugly picture there. And he sat down amongst the ashes. Then said his wife unto him, he's a good godly gal, huh? Dost thou still retain thine integrity? Curse God and die. Mrs. Job, you got some spiritual problem going on. She's telling her husband to curse God. She was not a true believer. But he said unto her, thou speakest as one of the foolish women speaketh. What? Shall we receive good at the hand of God? And shall we not receive evil? In all this did not Job sin with his lips.
Okay, you gotta stop about this too. She lost 10 children as well.
Yes! She was bitter because of that. She blamed God. And the devil was the one that did it. Now, so God speaks to us through sorrows and different heartaches in our lives. I can remember certain things I won't bring up, but my heart's been broken in my lifetime. And it only served to draw me closer to Jesus Christ. Fourthly, how does God speak to us? God speaks to us through sweetness. Yeah. Through sweetness. Indeed, Romans 2:4 says, it's the goodness of God that leadeth thee to repentance. God is good. God is good all the time. I like that, G-I-G-A-T-T. Listen, God will reprove us through the simple smile of a little baby. Thinking of my granddaughter. Or through the beauty of a beautiful flower, his creation. Through the blessing of family, friends, even His glorious creation. These are all sweet things that God speaks to us through. Amen? Fifthly, how does God speak to us? How does God reprove us? He speaks to us through His servants. Oh yes, God speaks through songs, through sermons, through soul winners. Every time a faithful believer hands you a gospel tract, invites you to church, offers to sit down and show you what the Bible says, the Holy Spirit of God speaks to each one of us through these things. Folks, God loves us too much to let us go to hell without being warned and reproved, verse 1 says. Point number one, there's spiritual conviction. But secondly, observe the stubborn rebellion. Back to Proverbs chapter 29. And look with me now, again at our text. Verse 1, he that being often reproved hardeneth his neck. Hardeneth his neck. What's that mean? Listen, to harden your neck means to say, no, I won't. We might say today, stiff-necked or hard-hearted. So let's think. How does one harden their neck against God's reproof? I'd suggest three ways. First, by procrastination. Just put it off until another time, the devil says. Look at Proverbs chapter 27. Flip back a page, you'll be there. 27 and verse 1. Boast not thyself of tomorrow, for thou knowest not what a day may bring forth. God says here, some people have the idea that they will give their hearts to the Lord tomorrow, one day, someday, maybe, but just not now. Dr. R.G. Lee once said that tomorrow is a time only found on fools' clocks. He's right. Tomorrow is a time only found on fools' clocks. He said, you better get saved today. You better make that decision now before you take your final breath. Remember in Exodus chapter 8, where Pharaoh entreated Moses to ask God to take away the plague of the frogs? The frogs, the Bible says, the frogs were in was in his castle. The frogs were in his bathtub. The frogs were in his bed. The frogs were in the kitchen. They were everywhere. And when Moses inquired of Pharaoh when he'd like him to intercede for him and take away the frogs, Pharaoh responded with this answer, tomorrow, tomorrow. Hello! I'm surrounded by slimy, stinking, ugly frogs. They're sleeping with me, but I'll just wait till tomorrow to get rid of them. Here is a picture of a fool. When God was ready to wipe out those frogs immediately, he says, how about tomorrow? Oh, let me roll over and get some more shut-eye. Let me just wait. Let me just put it off till another day. How many of us are just like Pharaoh? We say we want to come to Jesus, but we'll wait until another time. We choose to spend another night with the frogs. Another night in my sins. Another night to go my own way, do my own thing. There's an old story about a convocation of demons that got together to try to damn all mankind. They were trying to cook up some schemes and plans. One demon said, I know. Let's tell them there's no God. The other demon said, that won't work. The fact of God is so obvious, only a few would believe that one. Well then, let's tell them that God is not a God of love. Oh, no. God's handiwork. God's love is shown everywhere. That won't work. Well, let's just tell them there's no hope. Oh, no. The gospel has been preached around the world. They know the hope of the gospel. Then one demon, malevolent by name, known for his craftiness and cunningness and wickedness, stood up and said, I know what to do. Let's tell them there's a God, there is a God, that he's a God of love, that he has made provision for people, and that they do need to be saved, and that they ought to be saved, but let's tell them just simply to postpone it. And applause broke out in that convocation of demons. And they said, yes, that's the plan. We'll get more people by procrastination than any other way. Sadly, it's true. Most people who intend to be saved, when they're reproved, they harden their neck by procrastination. I'll do it someday, like Scotty's roommate there. Secondly, they harden their necks, not only by procrastination, in their stubborn rebellion, they harden their necks by pride. How the enemy will try to persuade us that we'll look foolish if we give our lives to Jesus, or that we should admit our need, or should go to that old church. Pride says, oh, I'm above that. I could never be one of those people. They're so religious. Wrong. Proverbs chapter 16, verse 18 says, pride goeth before destruction.
and in Howdy Spirit before the fall. He says, pride will put your soul in the pit of hell. Thirdly, how does he stubbornly rebel? By procrastination, by pride. But thirdly, they harden their necks by pleasures of this world. Some, actually most, do not want to give up their sin and the pleasures of this world in order to come to Jesus Christ. Hebrews 11:25 says, Moses, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. Beloved, there is pleasure in sin. There's no question about that. Pleasure for the flesh, but only for a season. And your eternal soul is not worth losing for some foolish passing pleasure. Go to 2 Timothy. Look at this. Hold your place again. 2 Timothy. Oh my. The preacher boy has something to say about this one. In 2 Timothy chapter 3. Watch what Paul says in verse 1. 2 Timothy 3, verse 1. This know also that in the last days, we're living in them, perilous times shall come. Dangerous. For men, why? For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud. There's that pride. Blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers. They don't keep their word. False accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God. Having a form of godliness, they go to church. They're religious, but denying the power thereof. From such turn away. So first we see the spiritual conviction. He's reproved all over and often being reproved of a sin. Second, we see the stubborn rebellion. I won't come. But thirdly, behold the sudden destruction. Back to our text in Proverbs 29. Notice the sudden destruction. Verse 1, he that being often reproved hardeneth his neck shall suddenly be destroyed. Now folks, listen, indeed, there comes a time when we cross God's deadline and God will bring judgment. Some will ask, but how may the sudden destruction come? Well, let me suggest three ways. First, by destruction of the mind. Listen to me. Through strong delusion, the mind goes. Destruction may come not merely to your body or soul, but also to your mind, people. You know that people are losing their minds today? Yeah, my sister said, oh yeah, I just watched the news. They're losing their minds. Why? Perhaps they've crossed God's deadline. Listen to me. God will destroy your ability to think correctly. Over the years, Miriam and I have had countless nursing home ministries. But you know what? I believe that many of those sweet, old, precious seniors had at some point in their lives crossed God's deadline and ended up losing their mind. And folks, I say this with all respect. I love those people. But some of those people, I would speak to them and I would write right up in their face, Jesus loves you. And it would be, whoo, whoo. One end or out the other. They don't comprehend. Listen to me. Their mind is gone. Now, I'm not saying that every elderly person in a nursing home has lost their mind. Don't misquote me. I'm saying some of them, I believe, cross God's deadline. They'll never get saved. They can't hear the preaching when we preach to them, when we sing these songs of Zion, when we give them gospel tracts, when we try to lead them to Jesus Christ, they can't comprehend the mind. We're seeing people today committing atrocities against their own family members, just losing their minds and going ballistic. People are losing their minds, church. In 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 12, the Bible says, God will send them strong delusion. Where? Where? In their mind, that's right, sister. in their minds. They're deluded. Now listen to me. The word delude in verse 12 means to be deceived in the mind. Somebody's deceiving these people, taking away their ability to think. They're thinking for them. Oh, folks, I'm telling you, this is how the enemy works. The opposite of truth is not error, but sin, unrighteousness. It says, it goes on to say, they are ad-libbing, God shall send them strong delusion that they should believe the lie. Why? The next verse, 13. For they had pleasure in unrighteousness and refused the love of the truth, the gospel, that they might be saved. When we are reproved and faced with the truth, but we choose to embrace our sin rather than the truth, the baggage is strong delusion of the mind. The baggage is just judgment from God. God can and will destroy your mind. Secondly, how does this destruction come? Secondly, not only of the mind, but God will bring destruction of the spirit through desertion. What? John chapter 6, verse 44, words in red. Jesus says, no man can come unto me except the Father which sent me. Draw him. Draw him. You know why you got saved? You know why I got saved? Jesus drew me by his Spirit. The Heavenly Father said, Holy Spirit, go after Bob Oliver. Open his heart to the truth. Draw him to Jesus that he might be saved. And he did. He did.
I got saved in 99 because 98 was a bad year.
But listen, he said, no man, no woman, no human being can come unto me, Jesus Christ, unless the Father which sent me draw him. You know what the implication of this verse is? If God the Father doesn't send his Holy Spirit to draw a soul to Jesus Christ, that soul will never come to salvation. How good is God that he promises to send him to draw you? Listen, words in red. Jesus Christ himself said that unless the Holy Spirit brings us under conviction, reproof, we will never be saved. And the Bible teaches that we can say no to the Holy Spirit so many times that God's Holy Spirit will cease to work on our hearts. You say, I don't believe that. Okay, go with me to Romans chapter 1. You haven't convinced me, preacher. Look what the Word of God says here in Romans chapter 1. If you don't believe that you can cross a deadline, let me show you some people who did in the New Testament. In Romans chapter 1, verse 24, wherefore God also what? Gave them up to uncleanness through the lusts of their own hearts, to dishonor their own bodies between themselves, who changed the truth of God into a lie, and worshipped and served the creature, the creation, more than the Creator, who is blessed forever, amen. For this cause God gave them up unto vile affections, for even their women did change the natural use into that which is against nature, that's lesbianism. And that likewise also the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burned in their lust one toward another. Men with men, working that which is unseemly, and receiving in themselves that recompense of their error which was meet. That's homosexuality, folks. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, there's the mind, God gave them over to a reprobate mind. Folks, let me explain what that word reprobate means. Literally, the Greek word means void of judgment. A reprobate mind is a person who is empty. They have no concept of divine judgment to come. They don't believe God will judge them one day. That's a reprobate mind. Look at it. Three times in three verses, the Bible says God gave them up. What does that mean? Oh, he just won't talk to them for a day or a week? Nope. They're crossed God's deadline. He's no longer going to try to draw them to Jesus Christ. This is a serious message, folks. Notice these three times in three verses, God says, I gave them up. I gave them over. I let them go. What am I saying? I'm simply saying that it is possible to come to a place of sudden destruction in your spirit as well as in your mind, where the Holy Spirit no longer speaks to you. God no longer draws you to His Son. You're in a state of spiritual death without further conviction. You'll die that way. You know what happens to a scab? If you continue to pick at it and pick at it, it becomes scar tissue. Scar tissue, which feels no pain, right? That's a lot like the conscience of a hardened sinner who has passed the point of God's deadline. They feel no guilt, no remorse for their sin. I see another way that God will destroy you, not only by in your mind, not only in your spirit, but thirdly, God will bring destruction of the body, the physical body, through death. Look at it. Proverbs 29. Verse number 1. He that being often reproved hardeneth his neck shall suddenly be destroyed. Destroyed. Brethren, eternity is only a heartbeat away, a preacher said. And your physical body is not you, I'm here to tell you. It is only a temporary shell, a housing unit for your soul, which is the real you. That body will one day die, and the real you, your soul, will go off into eternity, where you will either burn forever in the lake of fire or walk on streets of gold in heaven above. The choice is yours, Mr. Calvin, not God's. God has made provision that whosoever calleth upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. I'm so thankful for that. Go with me to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. In 1 Thessalonians chapter number 5, someone said, how will this destruction come? Look at it. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 1, but of the times and the seasons, brethren, ye have no need that I write unto you. For yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord, that's the second advent, so cometh as a thief in the night. For when they... Time out, church. Who is the they of verse 3? That would be lost souls. Unsaved people. Those who've crossed God's deadline. Look what it says. For when they shall say, peace and safety, United Nations, Democratic Party, peace and safety, then sudden destruction cometh upon them, as travail upon a woman with child, and they shall not escape. They shall not escape. Folks, this is one serious message. New Testament, cross God's deadline. They think they're in safety, and they're suddenly destroyed from the presence of the Lord. All right, we've seen the spiritual conviction. We've seen the stubborn rebellion. We've seen the sudden destruction. But finally, note the settled destiny. Proverbs 29. They have a settled destiny. He that being often reproved hardeneth his neck shall suddenly be destroyed, and that without remedy. Without remedy. Beloved, listen carefully now. Once we die, we will not stand before God and ask for a second chance, Shirley MacLaine. There will be no second chances, no way to come back, no opportunity to do it over again, no avenue of escape from the horrible place you'll find yourself in. Hebrews chapter 9 and verse 27 says, as it is appointed unto men once to die, but after this the judgment. After this the judgment. There's no turning back. In Luke chapter 16, 19 through 31, you know the story. The passage of the rich man and Lazarus the beggar. Well, the rich man and Lazarus both died in this passage. One went to hell. He's still there, by the way. The other went to paradise. Why? What made the difference between Lazarus and the rich man? Well, one had passed the point of no return. He crossed God's deadline and went to hell. while the other was saved by trusting Jesus Christ for salvation from sin. He went to paradise. Listen, God describes hell as a place of fire and brimstone. Hell is a bottomless pit from which no one who goes there can escape. What a thought that is! I wish I didn't have to preach this message! In closing, though, observe the last two words of our text. It says, without remedy. The Hebrew word here means without hope, without a cure, without help. Listen, the word is marpe, the Hebrew word marpe. Its literal translation means concrete. Look it up in your Strong's Concordance. Concrete? Listen to me. You know what happens to concrete once it hardens? It's unbreakable! It's impenetrable! It cannot be made soft again! And that is how God describes the condition of a sinner who's perished through stubborn rebellion. How sad, how tragic, how horrific is this? The sentence is three things. This sentence without remedy is three things. First, it's irresistible. You can't resist it. God is implementing it. Second, it's irreversible. You can't turn back and do it all over again. Third, it's irrevocable. That's a legal term, which means you can't have the sentence changed. In closing, let me give an illustration, folks. In Stone Mountain, Georgia, there's a mountain called Stone Mountain. It's been called the largest rock on Earth. And it is, for good reason. Stone Mountain is a massive, it's like egg-shaped, and it's black. We'll talk about that. Stone Mountain is a massive mountain of solid quartz monzonite. That's what gives it its black appearance. It stands at over 1,683 feet in elevation above sea level. Stone Mountain is more than 5 miles in circumference at its base. And its base extends 9 miles underground. It's massive. The giant dome of Stone Mountain is incredibly smooth and dangerously slippery. It descends. The top of it descends gradually until reaching a descent angle of 121 degrees, which is nearly straight down. An incident was recorded and reported on June the 6th, 1962, when a 35-year-old very successful banker from Atlanta named Tony Edge. Tony Edge, how ironic his name. Tragically plunged off the side of Stone Mountain to his death. It appears that Edge totally ignored the warning signs posted which stated, "Do not pass beyond this point. You will not be able to return." And the report indicates that as Edge fell to his death 900 feet below, there was a crowd of about 300 spectators at the bottom who heard him screaming loudly as he fell, "No!" And he died. Beloved, that's a true story. And one that makes me think of all those who've crossed God's deadline and are currently plunging closer and closer every day to their eternal death in the lake of fire. Don't let that be you. Don't let that be you. If you're hearing the sound of my voice, repent of your sin today and come to Jesus Christ for salvation before you plunge to your death eternally in the lake of fire. Now let me say this in closing. Whoever you are listening to my voice, God loves you. God loves you with an infinite love. He has spoken to you over and over and over to come to his son Jesus Christ. And God reproves you because he loves you so much and wants to save you from your sin. He doesn't want you to cross that line. God doesn't want you to cross his deadline. He wants you to come to Jesus today. Listen, if you're concerned about let me make a statement here. This will really clear up the message today. If you are concerned about whether you've crossed God's deadline or not, thinking it's too late for you, please know that you haven't. If you call upon him today, anyone who wants to be saved can be saved. Why? Listen to me. The person who crosses God's deadline has no desire to be saved. Did you hear what I said? If you are thinking, "Oh no, what if I've crossed God's deadline? I want to be saved." You haven't crossed it! The Holy Spirit is calling you to salvation! It's only those who stick the... Let me tell you a story in closing, folks. In 1988, I was the Didi Diaper driver. And we would gas up our trucks every day at Tony's gas station. Tony was a wicked, wicked reprobate. He hated the Bible. He hated Christians. He called me the bishop because I always tried witnessing to him. So I pull up to the gas pump to gas up the truck. Here comes the bishop. Oh, boy, everybody. Now, there was a small crowd, other guys gassing up their vehicles, and he always had his evil drinking buddies in the station with him. And I see him inside. He says, hey, watch this. He comes out to me, and I'm just minding my own business, just gassing up my truck. He says, hey, bishop. I says, hi, Tony. I knew it was coming. He said, you believe God's real, don't you? I said, yes, Tony, I do. I love God. And he says, well, if your God is real, watch this. And he stuck his fist up to heaven. And he said, hey, God, if you're real, I dare you to strike me dead right now. Nothing happened. Tony started laughing and he said, see, your God's not real. Your God is dead. And I said, Tony, God doesn't want to kill you. He wants to save you. He walked away mad as can be. Why didn't he kill me? Because he doesn't want to kill you. He wants to save you. You know what I believe? I'm chuckling because it's a funny story, but it's a sad story. Tony crossed that line. What human being could put their fist in the face of God and dare him to kill him? That's a person who crossed God's deadline. Don't let that be you. Don't let that be you. Call upon Jesus Christ today. Repent. That's turn from your sin, which will put you in hell. And turn to Jesus Christ and be cleansed from that sin. Father in heaven, how we thank you today that though we know there are many Tonys in the world, many who mock God, many who hate the Bible and Jesus Christ, Lord, though there be many who've crossed your deadline and they have no desire whatsoever, like those in Job chapter 22, down around verse 12, they say unto God, depart from us, for we desire not the knowledge of thy ways. They want nothing to do with Jesus Christ. They'll die that way. They've crossed a deadline and they're not turning back. How sad! How tragic. But Lord, I thank you that on the other hand, there are so many millions, no billions, of souls in this world who have not crossed that deadline, who have not stuck their fist in the face of God, but know that they are sinners and need a Savior. I pray for those today, for those today who need Jesus Christ, who need to be saved from their sins. I pray that they would come today without delay to the foot of the cross, confessing their sins and calling upon Jesus Christ to be their Savior from that sin. Oh Lord, bless your word today. I pray it may penetrate deep within the hearts and souls of men and women, boys and girls around the world, and that many, many souls will come to Jesus Christ this day. Through this preached word of God, I pray it in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. Amen. Folks, I'd ask you to grab your hymnals for a time of invitation. I'm so thankful that everybody in church today, I see, is saved, clearly. However, every single person in church today, including me, knows people who are not saved, people who need to be saved. And perhaps at this time of invitation, you want to pray. I'd ask you to open up to hymn 92. I'm so glad there is a haven of rest for the weary soul to find rest in Jesus Christ. He is the ark of salvation for all those who will trust him. Would you come today and pray for that lost soul that God is putting on your heart right now? Pray for that person to come to Jesus Christ. Hymn 92, we will sing. Let's see. 1st, 2nd, 4th, and 5th. 1st, 2nd, 4th, and 5th. Praise the Lord. We'll stand. Yeah. Oh, glory. Thank you, Lord. My soul in that exile was out on life's heat, so burdened with sin and distress, till I heard a sweet voice saying, make me your choice, and I entered the heaven rest. I've anchored my soul in the haven of rest. I'll sail the white seas no more. The tempest may sweep o'er the wild stormy deep. In Jesus I'm safe evermore. I yielded myself to his tender embrace, and fear taking hold of the word, my fetters fell off and I anchored my soul. The haven of rest is my Lord. I've anchored my soul in the haven of rest. I'll sail the white seas no more. The tempest may sweep or the wild stormy deep. In Jesus I'm safe evermore. Woohoo! On the fourth, how precious the thought that we all may recline like John the Beloved and blessed on Jesus' strong arm, when no tempest can harm, secure in the haven of rest. I've anchored my soul in the haven of rest. I'll sail the white seas no more. The tempest may sweep or the wild stormy deep. In Jesus I'm safe evermore. Oh, come to the Savior, he patiently waits to save by his power divine. Come anchor your soul in the haven of rest, and save my beloved is mine. I've anchored my soul in the haven of rest. I'll sail the white seas no more. The tempest may sweep or the wild stormy deep. In Jesus, I'm safe evermore. Woo-hoo. Oh, glory to God for that haven of rest, beloved, that any soul who desires can come into through Jesus Christ. I tell you, I'm so glad that the gospel I'm able to preach can save anyone. Anyone who wants it. Going to ask Brother Scott to dismiss us in prayer. Brother Harriman, a blessing he is to the church. We love him. And don't forget, this week, share this message with somebody before they cross God's deadline.
Heavenly Father, thank God that we did not cross the deadline. And I was stupid when I was young, but I ran away and you chased after me. And I know it was you chasing after me. I can't believe unbelief. I just, those people that just don't believe, those are the ones that need to be prayed for the most. They're the ones that are the hardest, like a piece of bread left out. They get stale. Their hearts are stale. Lord, let the water of your spirit water upon them so they be convicted of their need of salvation. I say this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.